Well, I'm going to share a few thoughts today. Just not going to keep you long, but as long as we need to be. But I want to share some thoughts. This is a message, some thoughts that I had been sharing. I started up here, but it's called The Voice of Faith. And, you know, what I was talking about was, you know, all that's going on that you see going on in society is really to try to stop the voice or still the voice of the church. And so that the church doesn't have a voice. It's either illegal to speak up, and if you don't speak up, this is what we need to do. The church needs to speak up and come against the darkness that's held sway in our area. But this is something that Brother Copeland shared. He shared this thought. He said, this is a word church, and its foundation has been established and built upon his word and by the direction of the Holy Spirit. So all that Pastor Sarah built or were directed to were based on the word of God and the direction of the Holy Ghost. But the motto of the church was something that was given to Pastor Sarah on their way back from Rhema Bible Training Center when they graduated in 1980. And that motto is, where the love of God is evident, where the word of God is taught, where the Spirit of God is directing, and where the power of God is manifested. Now, that's not just a nice saying, but that's something that we should be speaking with an expectation that this is a place, and you can even say it personally, this is a place where the love of God is evident. This is a place where the Word of God is taught. This is a place where the Spirit of God is directing, meaning what? Me. And this is a place where the power of God is manifested. And that is something that's not just a nice motto, but that's to be evident in the church, and it's meant to be voiced in faith so that that's our expectation. And faith has a voice. Faith has an expectation, and it's to be spoken, and confession is faith's way of expressing itself. So faith must be voice activated. It's not something that you just believe, you know, I believe. Okay, you could believe something and then voice something else. But your faith or what you believe must be spoken. It must be voice activated. And so it's fine, you know, like I said, it's fine to say, well, I believe. What do you believe? And what are you saying that you believe? So when rough times come, are you saying what you believe, or are you saying what you're experiencing? Because then you begin to find out what you believe. And Pastor Sarah always used to have a nice way of expressing it. She said, what do you get when you squeeze a toothpaste tube? What's inside? Toothpaste. So what happens when you get squeezed? What should come out? What's inside? And what you believe should be what's inside. So when you get squeezed, what you believe is what's coming out, not what I'm experiencing. So all these things that we know, wrong thinking, wrong believing, wrong talking will defeat you. It'll defeat you every time. So 2 Corinthians 4:13 in the King James, it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Let me just hold up a second. I want to share something. I've shared these two entries. You know, if you don't get these, you might consider getting them. They send them to you every day from Kenneth Hagin Ministries. All you got to do is sign up for them. I read them every day. I read them every year, same ones, and I read them every day. Faith food and health food. And they email them to you every day. All you got to do is go to, you know, Kenneth Hagin Ministries or khm.org and sign up for them, and they email them to you every day, free of charge. So that means no excuse. So this is something that Brother Hagin wrote years ago in his daily devotionals, whatever. But I wanted to read this because this is faith speaking here. And he references Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. So I want you to listen to this. I'm going to read it slow because I'll tell you, recently, I had to sit down, and many times as I've read it, sometimes when you grow spiritually, you reread things and it impacts you again in a different way. And, you know, you may have read it and go, yeah, I know that. And then you read it and you go, whew, what did he just say? Did you get the impact of what he just said? So he said this, several years ago, I was hemorrhaging from my body. Now, there's a man who's out preaching faith and healing, and he said, several years ago, I was hemorrhaging in my body. I had serious pain symptoms. It was almost intolerable. Now, when you reach that point of intolerability, most people are calling 911. But he knew who he was, and he knew what the faith principles were. So listen what he said. It was almost intolerable. The devil was giving me mental visions of cancer. I didn't have any kind of inspiration. And all the feelings I had were negative. You think your mind is going, your body's going, it's all negative. Now, I learned the multiplication table many years ago. It still works. 3 times 3 is still 9. I don't ever have to stop and think, will that work? Do you suppose 3 times 3 is still 9? Do you suppose the multiplication table will work today? I can't get it to work for me. Does this sound familiar? Where faith is concerned? I see it working for others, but it won't work for me. And he goes, no, the multiplication table doesn't work for you. If it doesn't work for you, it's because you don't know the principle well enough. I said to myself as I was lying in bed, I learned what faith is. I learned Mark 11:23, which says, whosoever shall say and not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So I just started saying, according to the word of God, I'm healed. In the face of pain, in the face of the most alarming symptoms, I said this. Every symptom began to abate almost immediately. And within 2 or 3 days, every symptom was gone. Because he knew the principle of faith. He had worked it. He didn't have to question it. He said, I know, just like the multiplication table works if you work it. And if you question it, then that means you don't know it well enough. Well, then that's the time, if you don't know it well enough, call 911. Calling the doctor is not going to change the symptoms or not. That's not the basis. Your words will change it. Your belief will change it. So here's another. So again, I just thought it was good because he said he had no inspiration to do this. He just understood faith. Now, here's another entry he made. And he references Mark 11:23 again. He said, once I invited a pastor to go with me to a preaching engagement in California. This pastor was 56 years old. At the age of 39, he discovered he had diabetes. So for 17 years, he had given himself a shot of insulin every day. This pastor was a good man and had a wonderful church. But somehow he had failed to grasp healing. Now, I didn't talk to him personally. I think that sometimes people are sitting around waiting for God to initiate something. And sometimes God does initiate something on his own, but people don't have to just sit around and wait on him. I wanted to teach this pastor about the authority he has in Christ. I know the authority I have, and this was the part, one of the things that stopped me. And he said, as long as a person is with me, I can exercise that authority. And I thought, I kind of knew that, but I said it was revelation again to me. He said, as long as a person is with me in my presence, I can exercise that authority. So he goes on. But when someone is on his own, he has to exercise his own authority. That's the reason things will happen many times in healing meetings, because people's faith is at a high and everyone is believing God. As a result, people get healed. But if people don't develop their own faith, they can lose their healing. That's why sometimes you'll see people get healed at a meeting, then they leave, and they don't continue to exercise their faith. The symptoms come back, and they'll go, well, I guess it didn't work. No, you aren't working the faith. You received something in your body. Now you do what? You believe that it's working in your body. You have to do something with your faith. So he goes on, many times people think that the word will work if it is quickened to them. I'll tell you, this is good stuff. Well, sometimes God's word is quickened to us and it does work, that's true. But we make a mistake in thinking that's the only way it works. And that it always has to be that way. I said that to my pastor friend because it is a faith principle. I'm sorry, let me back up. I missed a paragraph. As we began our trip to California, I said to this pastor, as long as you're with me, you'll not register any abnormal levels of sugar. Now listen to what he said. I said that in faith. I didn't say that because I was led of the Lord to say it. I didn't say that because I was inspired to say it. I just said it in faith because I believe what I say. And doubt not, and I can have what I say. And then he says, again, Many times people think that the word will work if it is quickened to them. Well, sometimes God's word is quickened to us, and it does work, that's true, but we make a mistake in thinking that's the only way it works and that it always has to be that way. I said that to my pastor friend because it is a faith principle, and faith principles work in the spirit realm just like natural principles work in the natural world. I don't have to get inspired to use the natural principle of the multiplication table. I don't need to be inspired to do that. As he writes, he continues to write, he said, 3 times 3 is 9. I know that. Similarly, I can use the principle of faith at any time to receive the blessings of God. And I hope you're thinking, because so often we're not embracing or receiving the covenant blessings of God because we're waiting on God to do something, and we need to exercise the principle of faith, which is, I can have what I say if I don't doubt what I say and believe it, I'll have it. That's a faith principle, whether I'm inspired or not. It's God's word. And Jesus said, you'll have what you say if you doubt not and believe the things that you say. So I tell you, it made me stop and think and say, okay, how many things am I not speaking and decreeing because I'm waiting to be inspired for something? Wrong. Because you think about it, when you speak something, you ever hear that saying, that person spoke that so much that they actually believe a lie? Anybody ever hear that? That's a faith principle. They spoke something negative long enough where they actually believed it. And they began to believe what they said. And it was a lie. Well, why can't we speak something that's true and continue to speak it and doubt not and have it? Why can't I speak something about my body? See, a lot of times people give up. There's stuff going on in their body and they go, well, you know, it must not be working. No, what's not working is you're doubting. You keep speaking the truth. If you need to get medical help, get the medical help, but don't stop trusting the word. Keep speaking the word and you will have what you say if you don't doubt. Why can't we speak the truth and faith? Why can't we speak that regarding our families, our marriages? Why can't we speak that concerning our finances? And speak it, and keep speaking it. See, the devil wants to still our voice. He wants us to not speak. And the problem is that when we don't exercise this, when we go to exercise it where society is concerned, we're not even exercising it in our own personal life. So then when we go to start speaking something against darkness in our society, we're going, well, I guess it's not working. No, what's not working is your faith. And you need to understand the principles of faith, which is what? Mark 11:23. If you speak to the mountain and command it to go and move and be cast into the sea, and it says, and doubt not, but believe the things that you say, you'll have it. You'll have what you say. And that's the voice of faith. That's the principle of faith. Mark 11:23 and 24. And 25, forgive if you stand praying. Walk in the love of God so it doesn't hinder your faith. But I'm telling you, you know, these principles, if we get a hold of these things, when stuff and storms come up in your life, you'll stand. And it can blow and blow and blow and blow. And what does the scripture say? It can't move the house. Can't budge. So we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, I'm going to read this from Mark 11, 23. You know, you think about this, people think, you know, well, if I'm walking in faith, there's no such thing as unchallenged faith. There is no such thing as unchallenged faith. So Mark 11, 23, in the Johnson, it's actually a paraphrase. It says, truly anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake and does not become separated from the statements he makes, that person will actualize his statement. So in other words, you don't become separated from what you're saying. What does that mean? I don't say something different. You don't become separated from your statement of faith. It says you will actualize it. You will have it. And I tell you, the way this grows in us is to water it. What does that mean? I keep feeding on it. I keep listening to it. I keep meditating on it. I keep acting upon the Word of God. You will grow in this area. More revelation will come. So there must be a continual confession of what we believe in our heart in the face of contrary circumstances. This is Hebrews 10:23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. It says, without what? Wavering. Without wavering. And it says, for he is faithful that promised. In the Amplified Classic, it says, so let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it, for he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. So our faith and our words, what are we saying? Our faith and our words must be connected. They're together. He literally needs us to say something of faith that activates his word and power. Let me read this. I wrote this down. It was something that Mark Hankins wrote recently. He said, the same power that's in the event of the resurrection of Christ is actually in the message or in the word. It's called the word of his power, Hebrews 1:3. So the word, when it is engrafted in the believer, releases the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Tremendous power. Miracle working power. It's called what? Dunamis. That's resurrection power. Enough power to undo everything Satan did in Adam. Enough power to drive sickness out of your body. That's Romans 8:11. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. And if he dwells in us, then he does what? Quickens our mortal body. With what? His resurrection power, which is in the word. Enough power to drive depression out of your mind. Enough power to put the devil on the run. So the same power that raised Christ from the dead is actually in the message. It's in the Word. I thought that was good. And what does that mean? That same power can be activated by what? What we speak. When we speak the Word of God, it activates it. It's not logos anymore, it's faith-filled words. Praise God. So faith's confessions create realities. So let's look at, just in a few minutes here, let's look at this Matthew chapter 8. This is the centurion, Matthew chapter 8 in the King James. And he maintained a bold confession. Starting in verse 5, it says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. See the faith of that centurion. So when somebody says, you just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed, that's faith speaking. That's an expectation. He's voicing his expectation. Now, for somebody to do that, they must have had expectation in Jesus to do what he had heard he was doing, right? So it was noised abroad. You know, anybody that came to Jesus, he would be healed. So he must have had faith. He was voicing it at that point. You know, I'm not worthy that you should come into my home. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man, verse 9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Man, I mean, he saw something, didn't he? He saw the authority that he had to command and people respond. He saw that in Jesus. That he had the authority to do what? Command sickness and disease to leave. That he was somebody under authority, which was amazing, because here he had to have seen or known or understood that Jesus was under authority to his Father. So when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Brother Hagin would say all through his ministry, that when people came to be healed, even in his healing lines, where he saw the most positive results, when people had listened to his teaching for a number of days or could have been weeks, and then when he had people come up for healing, they either didn't wait or just stood up and say, you just lay hands on me and I'll be healed. And he said, invariably, every single time, they were. Because this is exactly what the woman with the issue of blood did. She had heard of Jesus, and she pressed in and came in the press among them where he was being. Jesus was pressed on every side. People were touching him. But she was the only one that came in faith and kept saying, if I touch just but the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? And his disciples said, what do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you. You're being pressed on every side. But she came in faith and did what? She spoke it. She voiced it. And so sometimes we're waiting for God to inspire us to do something when in fact the word says we should be voicing what we believe. I have a covenant with God through his blood, through the Lord Jesus. I have a covenant with God. And that covenant is, I'm what? I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. And so that covenant affords me what? The use of his name, his word. I have a covenant word with God. And that covenant says that I can do what? I can speak something in faith, believe it and doubt not, and I'll have it. So we need to start speaking some things that we desire, speaking some things that we want in life. Why are we sitting back being subjected to the things that are going on in society? Start speaking what you desire. Speak it. Say, I'm going to have this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have such and such. And believe it and doubt not. You know, I've shared this a number of times, and Brother Hagin writes it in his writings. He said there was a young man who was in his early 20s. Now just picture this. He's in his early 20s. He started going to his meetings in that Broken Arrow area, and he started to go to his faith teaching consistently. And he started to apply these principles, these faith principles, in his life. And over a period of time, he became a multi-millionaire. And he didn't have just one private jet. He had multiple private jets to get around in. And all he did was speak. He didn't speak faith to become a multi-millionaire. He began to speak faith, and he became that. That was not his objective. But this was many, 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 many years ago, back in the late 70s, early 80s, before Tulsa and Broken Arrow had just exploded with malls and stuff and all of the major highways that were built. And God, because he began to speak in faith, God's spirit began to have him buy real estate. He didn't know why. He bought real estate. And most of that area was nothing but farm country. Well, it didn't remain farm country because then they started to build malls and major highways. Who had the land? He did. And he started making money, lots of money, off of the property that he bought. So why don't you think I can't confess God's word? Because here's the thing. It's going to take money to fund the church and all the things that the church needs to do. And most of us are working just to make ends meet. Everybody understand what I mean? That should not be. But what's going to change it? This thing right here. And begin to say what you want and desire. I'm going to do this. Not to consume it upon your own lust, but to please God. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So begin, you know, Pastor Sarah did this years ago, many years when they started. Start creating a list of things, your faith list. And as God answers them, check them off. Begin to create your list of things you're believing God for. And don't let up until you get it. Well, let me close with this. This is a great testimony of faith. This couple graduated the same year from Rhema in 1980 that Pastor Sarah and Clinton did. And I'm reading their book. Her husband went to heaven about a year ago. And she has a book I got. You can get it on Amazon, but it's sort of her diary. She wrote all of her diary out, and it's a great read. It's just a very simple read, but it's the testimonies of what they experienced all this 40 years in the jungles of Panama. And she said she was a missionary with her husband called Vida, V-I-D-A Ministries, in Darien, Panama. D-A-R-I-E-N, Panama. And I had read up on this. They said the National Geographic had quoted saying that this area that they were in was the densest jungle in the world. And they went smack right into it, right out of Rhema. And it said, and they're 1980 graduates of Rhema Bible Training Center. It says, when we first moved to Darien, it was a very spiritually dark place. Witchcraft ruled. The devil used the spirit of fear to control everyone. It was the law that governed his kingdom. They called him the evil eye and thought he was always watching them 24/7. When Denny, this is her husband, began teaching the word of God, he began teaching the character of God. As the word of God began to take root in their hearts, change began. Now, if you read their book, she talks about they were outside. This it was foreign. They lived in Ohio, and they went over to this area. So where did they bathe? They had no outside facilities. They bathed in the creek, you know, all of this kind of stuff. So it was camping 101. And they said there were so many poisonous snakes, you know, there were however many, right? And the people just walked around barefoot. They even, you know, when you read their story, you know, this area that they went in, nobody wore clothes. So over time, they started getting people to wear clothes and to, you know, all of the things that you do in a jungle. But anyways, it said, he taught on how God spoke everything into being by the power of his word. There was no sin in God, so all of heaven stood behind the words that he spoke. The law of unconditional love governed heaven. When Adam sinned, he was still a child of God, but he lost the authority behind the words he spoke. See the difference here? That our authority has been restored through Jesus. So he goes on. He explained how the devil ruled the earth after Adam sinned until Jesus came. This is what he's teaching all of these people in the jungle. When Jesus came, he had no sin in him. He spoke with authority. Even the winds and the sea obeyed him. He radiated, this is meaning she's talking about her husband now. He radiated how deeply God the Father loved his children. He healed the sick, raised the dead, and cast out devils to break the authority of the devil over God's children. There wasn't anything that he did not have power over. The witch doctors tried everything to kill Denny to prevent him from teaching the word of God. The Indians watched Dennis stand against the witch doctors without any fear. He used to say, "Fear is not in my vocabulary." Little by little, Dennis began establishing churches and teaching the people that fear had no power over them. they could stand in authority and speak God's word and defeat the devil. When that revelation came, it changed everything in this jungle, that they did not have to fear what the witch doctor said. So he said, the most powerful witch doctor in Colombia and Panama shared this testimony. He said, meaning the witch doctors, he said, every child of God has the name of Jesus written in blood on their forehead. In the supernatural realm, the light on their foreheads penetrates all the darkness. A horn blows and says, there's a child of the Most High God walking in the area. Now listen to what the witch doctor said. He said, we hope that they don't know that they are bearers of the most powerful name in the universe. He goes on, the witch doctor, we hope they do not know that the authority of the spoken word of God, that the authority of the spoken word of God, every demon, sickness, circumstance, have to come to a screeching halt and bow their knee because the spoken word of God holds the final authority. The Indians realized what Jesus did for them because of that fear, the fear that ruled their lives before. They have deep gratitude of his suffering to redeem them, and the open tomb screams out, it is finished, and God's children are redeemed. So here, right in this area, these witch doctors, which, of course, and you read their book, a lot of them get saved, they get redeemed, and they get changed. And, of course, over time, they built a radio station and a radio transmission tower in the jungle that's broadcasting all through the jungle. They've built, you know, a hospital in there now and so forth, that when they first went there, in their book, they had a leper colony. And there were hundreds of people, some of them had gone in at the age of 9, and they were there their whole life in the leper colony. And so her and her husband and even their children would go in and just love on the people, sit and love them. They had never had human touch. And so they went in and they just loved on the people, and they began to find out just through medical findings that leprosy was really a bacterial virus. And that got men and started getting cured. So when you look at it from these third world nations where they're not clean and they have a lot of bacteria, that's what causes it. You can look it up on Google yourself, that leprosy is caused by a bacterial infection. Is it true? Somebody know? I mean, I read it, so if somebody confirm it or not. But they actually, over time, they got rid of that leper colony, because the people actually started getting healed, treated, and so that area came up in just quality of life. They kicked the devil out, and that had ruled and reigned in fear, and the people didn't know any better. But when the light of the gospel came in, and he started to teach God's character that he loves them, he died for them, and that there's no fear in love, the people began to change. And then the big change came when they found out that they had authority over the devil. That's when the big change came. So it's a wonderful story, but again, no different in this society that we live in, that if we don't speak up and take our authority and use it, then your adversary will reign. And yet he's defeated. He's been defeated. So it's just share those thoughts. Hope you got something out of it. And my biggest thing is take the faith principle and begin to work it in your life. And you know, I always say, you know, look at the area of your life that you want to change and begin to apply the faith principle in it. Begin to speak to it. Remember, You are made in the image and likeness of God. You are a spirit. And a spirit, that's why God will hold each one of us accountable, because he said you are made in the image and likeness of God. That means you are God-like. God can't override your choice. So he gives us the right to choose whether we choose life or death. He gives us that right to choose. And so the same way, he gives us the right to speak, and you are now what? Held accountable for what you speak. So for us, start taking that God-like, you know, I'm made in the image and likeness of God, so I'm going to speak under the authority of God, and I've been given authority in this earth realm. Think about what Adam, it said the first Adam failed, but everything he named was named. He was God-like in that sense. Everything he named was named. But when he fell, it took the last Adam, which was Jesus, to restore mankind and to give them back the authority that they lost. Where's that authority now? In Christ. And we are what? Seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. Praise God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. Let it water our spirits. Let us stir our hearts, Father, to action and to step a little bit higher in faith and operate these faith principles that you've given us. We thank you, Father, for this area that we live in and operate in. We thank you that Satan's power is broken over this area. It's broken in every facet of the society in this area that we live in. We thank you, Father, that darkness is being pushed back so the light can shine in and people can see and hear the truth and come to the knowledge of the truth. And we thank you for it. And Satan, we put you on notice that your power is broken over this area. We thank you that the light that shines in this area pushes back darkness. And we thank you, Father, for the people's lives being saved, coming into the knowledge of the truth. And Father, we stand for the truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen.